This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, our leader interview today, the first half hour, was about organizational excellence, a culture of organizational excellence. Now we zoom in on a leader, Patricia Dlamini. She is a Businesswoman of the Year finalist, and this is Monday afternoon, and she will know, and all her finalists, all 17 of them, will know on Friday evening, this coming Friday, who the winner is, the title bearer as such. So we look forward to that, and we will have the winner, or is it winners? Do they actually
Winners in the five categories.
That's
so
right.
There will be five winners in the five categories.
Yeah, we'll have some of those on the show next week when we wrap up Women's Month as such, and we also launch our Thuli Manosela e-book, Thuli Manosela on Leadership, next week. So Patricia Dlamini spearheads development and societal transformation at the helm of her organization, the Utenag Dispatch Development Initiative, UDDI. Their vision is to be a leader in socioeconomic development in the Nelson Mandela Bay municipality. And she also founded She Has a Voice to Tell Her Story project. She has a voice to tell her story. She focuses on identifying young girls. I think this is what this project does. Identifying young girls in townships from underprivileged homes and offering them mentorship and guidance. So we'll have her tell us a little bit more about that. Patricia, it's good to have you with us on the leader interview. And good luck in this competition. We'll ask you a few standard questions we ask the others. But tell us about Utenag Dispatch Development Initiative, just the essence of what it's about.
We are a development agency for the Nelson Mandela Bay a municipality. Mm-hmm. Our role is really, if you know Nelson Mandela Bay, it's got three small towns, well, three towns. One is a city, which is the Port Elizabeth City. And then Utenag and Dispatch are smaller towns. They form the metropolitan municipality in the region. So our responsibility, the two towns, Utenag and Dispatch, are predominantly the repressed towns, and they haven't caught up. It's not a city, it's small towns. And you know the structure of small towns, there's usually a central economy that's running. At the moment, the sector that's running is automotive. So if everyone is not in the automotive industry, they're unemployed. Or if automotive industry shrinks or anything happens, like we understand the economy now. So our role really is to create other platforms for socioeconomic advancement in the area. So we look at how we can enhance entrepreneurship, small enterprise development, how we can look at community programs and engagements that will help the community to move on beyond just being employed in your automotive sector. But not only that, we play a very significant role in education in the region. Mm-hmm. We know we predominantly also there are townships, and township schools are the ones that are under-resourced. We have a science and technology center, a huge facility that was funded by the municipality. It's 3 years old, but to date, if you look at the impact, we work with about 64 schools in the townships, supporting it through, again, we chose a niche and we said we won't be working through all the subjects, but we want to work through the STEM subjects, the science, maths, technology, engineering programs, so that we create, we afford township schools to have access to these facilities. We have a very beautiful facility. They come in for support programs. The teachers come in for support programs, but we also have a reverse, what we call an outreach program to support those schools. So we're looking at basically our three strong areas are in the education support, small enterprise development, and a bit of social community cohesion type of programs.
How long have you been there?
It's my third year now.
What did you do before that?
I was with another development agency for the province now in the ICT space, a business incubation for ICT. I am in the ICT for development. That's my. I come a long way from ICT. I was at the Innovation Hub at one stage, running some startups in technology.
All right. Yeah. I must say, I knew what Utenag was. I didn't understand Dispatch was a town, funny enough. Now you've opened up my eyes and development initiative. So all that made sense. The Dispatch was out of place for me.
Yeah.
And it's not Dispatch, it's Dispatch.
Dispatch, something.
D-E-S. Yeah. All right, so that makes sense.
It's a well-known rugby team, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Now it also makes sense for me. It shows your ignorance, eh?
Yeah.
How does it feel to be a finalist in the Businesswoman of the Year, call it competition?
You know, being nominated for this platform, for me, it's like your first thinking is that, why me? I know so many women who are excellent. Why me? But when you get onto that stage or interact with other women that have been nominated, you start saying, you know what? I'm happy I'm being recognized for the work I do. And that's very important, because we talk as leaders recognizing our teams. We also need that motivation to be recognized.
That's honest.
And such
platforms
give us that. It gives us that, you know, be it a kick or whatever, that we're being recognized. So it really goes a long way to your ego as a person, but also to wanting to do more of what you're doing, because it must be right. So that's really the essence of how I feel about this award and the possibility of winning it.
Because it's lonely to be a leader, isn't it? I mean, how often does a leader receive recognition from their team? How often does the CEO get an email from his or her director or a general manager two levels down saying, yeah, Mr. CEO, you handled that results presentation so well, or whatever, that session there that you held, I was so impressed. Yeah. People feel funny doing that.
Yeah.
So interesting point, Louis, that she raises here is, as leaders, we also need that fuel. You're there probably because you're able to inspire yourself, motivate yourself. Mm-hmm. But somewhere you want to know that it's seen. So there's some honesty there.
Mm. I think many years, Arjun, my experience of, you know, kind of church leadership, very few people came to me and expressed appreciation. But that's not quite true. You read it different ways. It's just that you are geared up to make other people feel appreciated. Yeah. It does make a difference. We all want to feel we belong, and we possess that special relationship.
I've had that where I, as a junior, had the courage, and it felt like I needed the courage. Yeah. Because we learned about things like, don't suck up to the leader. It's like a school. Yeah. It comes with you from school, man. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And the moments that I've done that, where I've complimented my boss with great authenticity, it always created a connection between us. Immediately there was this, you stand out, actually. You immediately stand out because, wow, he or she has the confidence to recognize me.
Absolutely.
It's not a matter of sucking up at all. It's actually very mature. Yeah. It shows your maturity. All right. Why do you think others feel you deserve to be here? I know that you're answering for others maybe, but why would you deserve to sit here as a finalist today?
I think the people who nominated me, I really appreciate the nomination. Probably I'm doing something that is really necessary and needed for our country and the continent at large. Mm. So it's a greater good, you know, it's a greater good. But also, I think having been able to be exposed to a lot of networks through BWA itself, it creates that platform for you to talk about what you do, to engage other people. And then I think it's just that recognizing each other. And, you know, they always say great leaders see leaders. If we oblivion of people potential, then we're not great ourselves. It doesn't matter what level the person, we need to be aware that people have potential. So I think I appreciate that.
Now, we want to know from you what it's taken for you to get to where you are today. I mean, could be as a woman, could be as a black woman, could be as an individual. It doesn't matter. It's not always easy, and you have your own unique challenges and societal challenges that you confront as a leader, as you call it, climb the ladder. I mean, you haven't climbed the usual ladder of Standard Bank all the way to the top or anything like that. But what has it taken? So you're talking to 50 youth in a township, let's say, and you want to really convey to them what it has taken for you to get to where you are today, recognizing that you're still on your path. You know, you haven't arrived or anything like that. You're not trying to indicate that you're it. But tell me, as a youth, as a 16-year-old, what it's going to take for me to succeed in life.
I think I was very fortunate during my young days when I finished university, because my first few jobs, I had people who wanted to give me a chance. But also it goes back to that culture of excellence, because when people pick you because you stand out. Mm. So I always speak about your 100 of you coming out of matric, or the numbers are big, or university, let me say, out of university, you're all going into a job market. If you get into KPMG or whatever company that takes 20 graduates, the jobs up above one level are not 20, they're probably two.
Mm.
you need to stand out.
Gets fewer and fewer, if that's the right English.
Yeah.
There's less and less opportunities.
Exactly. Standing out is very important. I think I grew up being a first born girl at home. My parents gave me the confidence that, you know, they always say second child is like never given confidence. I was given confidence at home, and I always wanted to do much more, not hungry for just being there, but want to do much more and achieve more. And I'm not an A student. I work hard. I think hard work for me was critical. My mother taught us how to work hard. She used to wake up very early in the morning, at 1 o'clock in the morning, bake buns, and we needed to go and sell those buns before we go to school, and we walked to school. So there are many lessons I left from home, and and also from the community I grew up in, and being a girl, coming after a boy, and wanting to be known you can achieve something. And my parents supported that. Both my parents are still alive. So it's those things that I speak about when I speak to young people. It just comes from internal, but also the support system is very critical. I'm raising two kids, and I always say to them, I'll give you this much, support you, but you need to have a vision, dream, and want to be more. You have to want to be more.
That's the challenge as a parent. Is when it's been very difficult for you, you somehow, something in you says, I must make it easier for my children. And actually, I don't know, I think we do them a disservice.
Absolutely.
By not also letting them wake up at four, whatever, you had to wake up to go sell buns.
Yeah.
So you're the first one to recognize that having a mom who woke up at one, baking buns, and having you sell them before you walk to school is what built your character. But then we somehow withhold our kids from this pain, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know where the logic is in that, but we've got to teach them to work hard.
Absolutely.
It's maybe a different kind of work hard these days, not the same as when we grew up. But all right, so those are some messages you would give to youth. And some challenges, obstacles, stumbling blocks you came across in your career, in your life?
Yeah. I think one of the things that happen as a woman is that you get ambitious, you have dreams, you start off wanting, the first thing when you're growing up, you want to get married. You get married, and when you get married, because you didn't communicate that you're still ambitious in your life, so that comes through now, that you want to drive a career, and children, career, husband. I think communication struggled there for me, and I learned communication skills after that, because I couldn't keep that pin that down because I wanted to be more, but I wanted to be married. So you end up losing some of the things. So it's a bit of a sacrifice. And I always say to young girls now who want to get married, or young mothers, married couples, that you have to pay attention to all the balls. They always say, you drop the family ball, nothing will work. It's not true. The balls are very important, and they're important to people at different stages in a different way. At a later stage, my kids were very important when they were smaller. Now they're important that I see and understand them without them talking, but now I can catch more balls because they are bigger. And, you know, so it's always understanding that at a different phase in your life, you have to understand what is important to you at that time and prioritize it. There's no balance. There's no 50-50. It's just at that time, point in time of your, that season of your life, what is important, and take it. So challenges for me has been that at that time, I was younger, and I did not pay attention to issues of communication about my ambition. So I took it for granted that everyone knows everyone has ambition. And I was ambitious and, you know, type of thing. But now I understand better that if I'd done better in that aspect, maybe some of the balls would be still in the play.
You feel you kind of suppressed your ambition for other values that you grew up with.
Yeah. And I come from a culture where your husband, your children come first. In a way, it's not said like that, but you know that if you're a good wife, they see it the way your husband performs at work and the way your children grow. And it's like you're nobody. But nobody says that, but it feels like that. So it's also trying to work on those. It's not even, I don't even think it's cultural as such, but we've moved. So how am I teaching my daughter to behave? Because I do want her to believe in the marriage space, and also I do want her to drive a career. How am I teaching my son to look at a wife and not look at somebody to sit at home and bear babies if she doesn't want. Okay, there are choices. Some can choose to do it. Yeah. So it's also, we're still responsible. I feel like we still have that burden to say we need to teach our children to understand that it's not like you can have everything, but in season, what can you say? But it has to come from you and your communication. There's no point doing it for another person. You cannot maintain external...
back to that attitude of excellence. I want to achieve excellence in everything I do. I want my wife or my husband or my kids to achieve excellence in everything that they do. But as you say, there's a season.
Yeah.
So I guess it's easier the season of being the CEO of a business. The season is much easier if your kids are older than to have. I listened to a CEO now recently in an interview. She had a baby and she came back, I think. And then she became the CEO. I can't remember how she struggled with the company policies and how to she wanted to breastfeed her child.
Yeah.
She realized my office door doesn't have a lock. So these things, small things. So she was able to change policies and procedures in the business to be more conducive to the women and their needs. So all right. So interesting, very interesting angles there. Mm. Do you view yourself as a leader? I mean, have you always viewed yourself as a leader? Is it a recent thing? Do you think you view yourself more as a leader now because you're the leader of an organization? When did you realize, I'm sure you have, that I'm a leader?
It's not a recent thing. It's in my upbringing, I think. I'll go back to being a second born at home, but first girl. In our culture, first girls are very important. So at home already, that recognition that...
the culture already bestows leadership on me.
But what is important now is that I understand what it means. I think it goes across your responsibility, because for my siblings, who five girls after me, who came after me, I was their role model without me knowing. So if I drop the ball, many people are disappointed, and it's that leadership pressure. So I grew to understand that whilst it's nice to be called for a meeting at home, but also how you present and do your life is also watched, and people want you
followed
to be followed and everything. So it comes a long way. So I started paying attention to what leadership meant even before I became a manager in a job, at home and in society and the lifestyle that I led. It was very important.
Okay, and your views on leadership. We touched a little bit on that the first half of the show during our master lesson. But your views on leadership in general, what is good leadership? What is a good leader, a great leader? Describe that person, that individual.
I think it's a person, for me, it's always been first being aware of yourself, but also realizing that you need people around you. So it's the kind of being able to understand what sort of people you need around you, but also clarity in why you need people around you. You can have as many people you know in life, but it's a clarity. So it goes back, stems to where do you want to go to, not necessarily in your career, even in your personal life. What do you want to achieve and what sort of people you bring around? So it's those things. So it's getting the team. I mean, leading at home for me, being a single mom, is even being able to get a home executive that will want to support me. She will know that she's gone for 5 days. The kids need to be taken care of. This is what. But that engagement has to be at that level, because if she feels led and understood, she will support me appropriately. So it's knowing that you need all these pillars of support, and you draw them when you need to draw them. By not abuse, but being able to influence it to automatically happen. And that's great leadership for me, recognizing, knowing yourself, and recognizing that you need other people.
Okay. Should you win, should it happen somehow that on Friday evening you're a title bearer of whatever category it may be, of the Business Woman of the Year competition, what would you like to change while being on this platform for a year, I guess? Is there anything you want to address specifically, a theme? What will be your message to the world while you appear on other shows like this, perhaps, or other platforms or talks? What's the drum you're going to beat?
Going back to my Share the Voice project, I think one of the things that really I communicate as a leader is that it starts with us to make the change for others. So my drum is that the more I bring up other young, I'll speak about young women because I'm passionate about young women, but youth generally, bring them up with the right principles, right ethical values, and give them support, expose them to opportunities. It's very important. So my drum is that let's go back, find other people, bring more people up on board. Don't leave people behind. Don't close that, you know, that's sort of closing the door for other people now that I'm there or I'm rising, or because we need that. But also taking time out, I think it's one of the things as we get higher in the organizational hierarchies, we forget that we also need replenishing.
Yeah.
Taking time out, I think I would go on holiday if I would win. I don't know who's going to pay for it because BWA doesn't give us money. But I think you always feel like you need to go and rest, switch off, and just enjoy, bask in the recognition. Yeah.
Your views on South Africa, on its future, the good and the bad and the ugly, what would you say, especially from the angle where you perform, you know, in the not-for-profit type space?
Yeah.
What are your views on the country?
I walk the township streets and get very depressed, but it depresses me because it's also my responsibility that we shouldn't be where we are. That's the start. But the one thing that's really assuring is that our democracy is really active and working. We just need more doers than sayers and critics. I don't believe in critiquing from an armchair. I believe in getting my hands dirty. The more we do that, I always say to my peers, I've got some of the people I went to school with are holding positions in large organizations, but I chose this area of social entrepreneurship because for me, it was an issue. I want to make meaningful difference. And meaningful for me is that it's tomorrow it will be more than my children going to good schools. It will be the other girls that I go and touch their lives. Not with money. I don't have money because I don't get a lot of money. But the time, I pay attention. So a lot of us, if we can have more citizens that are paying attention, it doesn't need money. It just needs paying attention and looking at that young girl's eyes and understanding that the things that you're trying to say, she must understand that maths and science, she'll not, because at home the situation is worse or the environment that she's around. So it's just paying attention as citizens for me.
I think I'll also take that as kind of your message to leaders. I think it's a passionate message. And then let's end with a Sibanye executive inspirational thought by Lesego Selwane. I'm not even exactly sure if Lesego was on our show, but it's a brilliant quote. He says, "You may not know all the facts, but one thing I'm sure of is that a life worth living is one in which you dare to do the unthinkable, do it, and do it again and again."
Absolutely.
"May not know all the facts, but one thing I am sure of is that a life worth living is one in which you dare to do the unthinkable, do it, and do it again and again." Lesego Selwane. So those are that's the final Sibanye executive leadership thought. Thank you so much, Patricia Dlamini, for joining us today, the CEO of Utenaik Dispatch Development Initiative. And Dispatch is a place in
Utenaik. Utenaik, you must come and visit Utenaik. Just one quick thing. People must get themselves a seat to this event on Friday. It's very important. The funds that are collected for the event actually are used to sponsor postgraduate studies for women. So it's really, if you're passionate about women advancement, get yourself a ticket or sponsor somebody. I've got girls in Utenaik. I can fly them if you can pay their ticket. So anyone who wants to contribute to this big agenda, let's all do it. Thank you very much, Adrian.
Yes, and then they can email pm at bwasa.
.co.za.
They want to join. All right, next up, our business masterclass. We're discussing creating a sustainable competitive advantage. What to consider. That's not easy. Let me tell you, in today's world, you think you have a sustainable competitive advantage, but you blink your eyes and someone stands next to you and they can do what you can do and maybe even better. So next up, business masterclass. Stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.